The reason I asked you in here, Walker, is because, you know, you with the grain growers, I was visiting with my cousin the other day, by the way, might have been at this place, and I was sitting with, you know, Doug Lingen, who's been a commodity broker for years, and he said, Joel, we've got major issues out there. We got product to move. We're not able to move product. We got product sold. We're not able to move sold product. And the biggest thing is we're going into a growing season, and timing-wise, it isn't always conducive to moving product when you're out trying to get out there and plant product. How bad is it when it comes to rail availability to your people?
Joel, it's bad. There's no question about that. And the railroads like the CP and Burlington Northern Santa Fe, they'll tell you it's bad. They're having a lot of problems. And the problems are, you know, you can't just point to one thing, just like you can't point to something that happens in a whole huge arterial system that has hiccups. But the fact is that we were told 2 years ago that service was going to be chunky on the chunky. That's what they called it on the Burlington Northern Santa Fe. This is impacting, this whole thing is impacting farmers right down to the farm gate. And it's being compounded by a winter, number one, where you couldn't get product moved because it was too cold. Now we've got problems because as we bring this frost out, we can't get into the bins. We can't get over there. Can't get the product into the trucks, get it to the elevators.
Load restrictions
are going on. And quite frankly, the elevators can't move it anyway. You know, and it's not, it's
Wags, there, let's start a bend business.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. This doesn't seem that bad to me right now.
I know I got a friend that sells steel billings out in Bismarck, North Dakota, that's got a grin from ear to ear right now there, my friend. But it goes back to a lot of different things. Number one, they didn't anticipate this crop. BNSF did not anticipate the crop that we had last year. The second thing is, oil shipments have gone through the roof. Third thing, we had a cold winter. Coal shipments are again through the roof. Why? Because of a cold winter. The power plants needing the coal to get things going, and we've got intermodal. So
I never thought of the coal. I knew the oil, and I knew that it wasn't conducive to moving product as a farmer. That, you know, they were putting it off, saying, "Do you want to go out there and work in 30 below?" Kind of a thing. But I never thought, hey, you know, it did take more coal than an average year.
Absolutely. And now you've got the economy's picking up in the United States, which is a good thing. And so intermodal. Intermodal is the surprise.
Okay, tell people what that's all about.
Well, intermodal is anything from your cars that move by rail, you know, new cars going to destestinations. Hey, TV sets, you name it. It's consumer.
Things are being moved by rail.
Consumer
the
goods.
The economy's taking off.
Absolutely. And which is a good thing, but it's a bad thing in as much as velocity. You know, one of the things that I found out, Joel, on trains, for example, in this below zero, if they have a shuttle of 110, they can only pull half of that. They can only pull 105. The reason is they can't get the air. They can't get the air for the brakes from one end of the train to the other.
Oh.
So what happens then is obviously you slow velocity. That's number one. The second thing, though, is now you've cut velocity in half. So a shuttle that normally would take one crew, you know, two to three engines and 110 cars, now is down to one crew, two or three engines, and 52 cars. Okay, that's a problem. Now you've cut your velocity automatically in half just because of the weather.
You drove the short bus, but you needed the whole football team.
Absolutely. And so you've got that problem going on as well. And so it's just a whole host of things. And believe me, the heads of BNSF, I was on a conference call along with Dave Berg from American Crystal Sugar. We joined into a meeting that your sister, Senator Heitkamp, called along with Senator Hoeven and Kevin Kramer to talk to Matt Rose about what was going on. We had the opportunity, both Crystal and the North Dakota Grain Growers, to express to Mr. Morose our disappointment in what is going on. He knows, but he's got to continue to know that we need to move this product. It's not money. It's not money, Joel, in the bin. It's money when it gets to the elevator.
Yeah.
And until we get that to the elevator, farmers have a cash flow problem. They've got a spring that's coming up, and we may not see relief on this, total relief on this, till 15.
Two things to ponder when we come back. Number one, how do you fix it? Number two, for those small town elevators who already were putting crop on the ground, you know, have they moved it? Has the Ronnie Knauss and the Paul Coppins of the world, you know, when I drove through Ledgewood the other day, there's still corn on the ground. And so, you know, we got to talk about some of that. 237-5948-1-800-880-5346. You have a question or a comment for Dan Wogsland. Let's get, before the break, we talked about how you fix this. How if you can fix this. And I'm just judging by the people I know who are good at what they do. You know, I look at Ledgewood and I see Ronnie Canales building new bins every other day. He's obviously has people knocking on his door and doing business with him. I've been up to Reynolds Co-op. I've seen the job that the Paul Coppins of the world do. And there's more like them. I don't mean to just single out people I consider that are friends, but they got crop on the ground. They got crop to move. They've got bins. I mean, how do they deal with this? What do they do?
Well, Joel, and you got to hand it to the grain industry in the state of North Dakota. I don't think that there's ever been a time when we can handle the crops that North Dakota has. And when you talk about 40 different types of crops in the state, nationwide, worldwide leaders in 20, that's a huge investment that the grain industry has made in the state of North Dakota. And thank goodness that they have. We can deliver now better than we ever have been able to. We've been able to get it moved better than we've ever been able to, and so kudos to those folks. But it doesn't do you any good if you're going to export it somewhere and you can't get it on the rail. From what we understand, BNSF is going to put $5 billion into rail infrastructure. Much of which is going into the northern tier, which impacts North Dakota farmers. It's going to be put into not only North Dakota, but it's going to be put into rail all the way to the PNW, where a lot of our soybeans go, a lot of our wheat goes, and some of our corn goes out there as well. So that's one thing. But just like, you know, think about this when you have road construction, you know, on Interstate I-94. What happens when the state of North Dakota puts a ton of money into road infrastructure? Fact is, you slow it down, don't you?
Yeah,
and that's what happens. And so while on the one hand, the long-term impacts of a $5 billion investment are going to be massive and are going to be felt in the long term, the short term, we go back to that Chunky. And Chunky doesn't do Dan Wogsland any good in Wallam, North Dakota, when I've got bins full of grain and I need to get that moved. And so
what's it doing to your prices?
Well, the price. Well, it's had some impacts on basis, and some of which were very negative earlier in the year. Some of that basis is kind of mellowing a bit, but nonetheless is still a concern. What it really does is cash flow, Joel. If I can't deliver, I can't get paid. And that's the big problem, and I think that's why that groups like ours, like the North Dakota Grain Growers Association, and others are pushing to make sure that ag is number one, still recognized. Hey, we were here before oil, we're going to be here after oil, and is still recognized in the mix of the rail shipments in this country.
So, is there an opportunity here? Say I'm Joel, and I have X number of bushel capacity. Our local, you know, elevators, are others looking to farmers now to say, hey, can you hang on to this stuff for me? Can you be my little quasi, you know, a grain handler for me?
Well, I think you're seeing some of that, and I don't know, firsthand whether or not folks are paying interest or paying storage payments to farmers on farm. That I don't know. I'm not aware of. But certainly it's a time to get innovative on some of these things and to allow, because, again, it's cash flow. But, hey, if an elevator doesn't sell it, they don't make any money
either.
That's
right. I understand what I caught myself nodding my head because, like you said, unless I can deliver it, I can't get paid for it. So it's a cash flow problem. And you get paid every day to get up and look out after the ag producers out there, the farmers. I understand that. But if I'm the local elevator, unless I can move it after you deliver it to me, I'm not making any money either.
That's exactly it, Joel. And we're an export state. I mean, our grain goes out of state. Obviously, with 670-some thousand people, we can't consume what we produce. And we are the leader in the nation in production. We're second to none. We're second to none in the world. But the fact is we've got to get that moved. And some of these bottlenecks that are being experienced, I think are going to. I think as the weather abates, I think we're going to see some easing. Visiting with North Dakota State University and some of their folks. They talked about the reallocation of resources, some of the things that have gone to the south because that's where the marketing was in terms of in terms of rail. Some of the engines and things like that are coming this way. I know they're trying to hire more crews. Fact is that there's a labor shortage as well, and we go back to splitting that train. Yeah.
Dan, as always, thanks. When we call, you always give us time. The North Dakota Grain Growers, thanks to them as well. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Joel.
And, you know that I could tell you some Jared Allen stories. You know, if that's kind of, you know.
I'm just saying. Just saying.
You
just
watch. He's going to have 18 sacks, and Julius Peppers is going to have 19. It's going to be Millard and Dolman all over again, and I'm going to be sitting here pouting all fall. Yeah, I'm getting messages from Toby McPherson saying, I'm all with Wogs. We want Jared Allen. Yeah. Welcome to my life. Man, it's tough being a Purple fan.